What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to Sparks of the Paranormal. I am your host, John Sparks. And with me today, we are talking cryptids. That's right. And one cryptid in specific, the big hairy man himself. That's right. Sasquatch, Bigfoot, whatever you want to call him. We are talking about that big, beautiful, hairy beast today. And with me is my dear friend, Mr. Greg Morrell. Greg, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, John. It's good to talk again. How you been?
Busy. Very, very busy. How are you? You good? Everything busy?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm just hanging out and seeing what comes my way and taking it one step at a time.
That's kind of what 2020 has taught us, that planning is probably the worst thing that you can do.
Exactly.
So, man, let's get into it. Where did your obsession with Bigfoot start? Was it just like, I've got to ask questions? Was it something where you're like, I thought I saw something? Like, how did it go?
No, I've never had an experience myself, but I always remember, like, since I was a kid, the images of the Patterson and Gimlin film of Paddy the Sasquatch walking behind the log, and I mean Loch Ness Monster and those kind of things. I never really looked into them too much more other than what was on TV or whatever. Now, I don't know if your audience knows, I live in Canada, in near Toronto, Ontario. Mm-hmm. So we, growing up, we had like upstate New York channels, like from Buffalo and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we would get like some of your shows, but we didn't get a lot of access to other shows you guys would have. Mm-hmm. So I never saw like In Search Of or anything like that.
But yeah, the classics. Mm-hmm. So what kind of shows did y'all have up there regarding stuff like, you know, finding Bigfoot or In Search Of? Like, I'm sure you guys have your own shows up there. What did you guys have?
There's nothing like in specific I can think of like on Canadian television, but we'd get like Unsolved Mysteries and the occasional documentary on like news reports on Bigfoot sightings and stuff like that. Other than that, like, it's pretty much since the age of the internet has come in that I can access all that information. I have the YouTube at my fingertips, Amazon Prime, all the movies and documentaries on there. It's endless. You can look at Bigfoot stuff all day if you want,
which I've been doing just because I had the day off and I was like, you know what? If we're going to be talking about Squatches, I'm going to go watch as much Squatchy stuff as I can. And, you know, thank God for YouTube University. You use a lot of that information. And it's crazy because people are like, oh, well, when are you going to ever need to know anything about Sasquatch? And I'm like, well, if I run into one, that would be nice to have some knowledge. You're never going to run into one. It's not real. Do you have definitive proof? Because... Right. I'm seeing a lot of proof that it exists, but I can also understand your skepticism.
Better prepared than not prepared.
Yeah, everybody wants to try to prove that it exists, but I mean, are people trying to prove that it doesn't exist?
Exactly. So where is your head at when it comes to Sasquatch, and what are your theories?
I try to keep an open but skeptical mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in the possibility. I've never had an experience myself, but I believe the people who say they have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you listen to these people, there's fear in some people's voices, there's awe in some people's voices. There's just so many people that have like dedicated themselves to this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I gotta believe there's something. What it is exactly, I can't really say. The physical reports seem to resemble a early man.
Yeah. Almost Neanderthal-like.
Yeah, I believe the term is a hominid.
Yeah. I find it very interesting because, you know, talking about the eyewitness accounts and things, you've got incredibly credible people that are out there, you know, doctors and, mm-hmm. you know, like professors of science that are like, yeah, I don't know what was happening. I was out there camping one summer with my kids and Sasquatch throwing rocks at my tent. And then I get out and he throws a stick at me. And then I go to try to figure out what it is and I see him and then it takes off running. If these are the people that are giving us their eyewitness testimony, I'm a little more tempted to believe them. Especially somebody like biologists that are giving us testimony about actual sightings, because, I mean, literally their job is to understand the organisms and the, you know, the animals that are around, and they're like, yeah, I don't know what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the leaders in the field, credible leaders in the field, is Dr. Jeff Meldrum. He wrote a few books on the subject. One in particular is great. Sasquatch Legend Meets Science, mm-hmm. I believe. Well, I have the books. Let me just look here for a second.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah, Legend Meets Science. Sorry. Yeah, no, I definitely recommend that one to everybody to read if they're skeptical. I mean, he takes the evidence that's available and he breaks it down. And he gives scientific explanations. He debunks the frauds. He gives it a fair and scientific approach, for sure.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that. Because, you know, when it comes to the paranormal, when it comes to, like, ghosts and stuff like that, you know, you have to take that scientific approach. You can't take everything on faith. You literally have to put the time in and do the research and look at it from every angle. And it's the same thing with cryptids. You can't mm-hmm. just immediately say the Mothman is 100% real. You know, we don't know. You know, we don't... There's so many cryptids out there. And Bigfoot is, like... He is the symbol of cryptid at this point. And nobody has definitive proof that it exists. So, like, yeah. I'm mind blown.
There's footprints. There's hair samples. There's even blood samples out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is they have nothing to compare it to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at all the footprints, all the hair samples, all the blood samples you want, but if you don't have a definitive source to compare it to, you can't say 100% what it is.
Yeah, there's no control sample.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're comparing it to our DNA, we're comparing it to bear DNA, we're comparing it to, you know, ape DNA, and all of these thing, and it never ever ever matches up, which at some point you've just got to be like, if I can't explain it, the odds are pretty high that this may be an actual thing. You just got to look at it like that. Like, I don't know, man. My brain goes a million different directions when it comes to Sasquatch, when it comes to Bigfoot, yeah. all of these different things, because I want to believe. You know, I'm like you. I've never had an experience, but man, there's so much evidence to prove that he does exist.
Yeah.
Much more than what proves that he doesn't.
Like you said, there's no control sample.
Yeah. And I think you know, there's a huge argument out there that says, you know, if Bigfoot is real, if the Sasquatch is real, bodies, I think they are way smarter than we're giving them credit for.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of kind of paranormal speculations too, interdimensional travel, mm-hmm. Extraterrestrial theories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of coincidences with sightings of UFOs and Sasquatch very close to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, there are. And it's shocking when you actually look at the numbers on that. It's one of those things that I was talking with a friend of mine. He's an author down in Texas, and he actually put out a book called How UFOs and Bigfoot Prove the Bible is Real. And it is a very interesting book, and this is a very interesting man. But we got to talking on his show about how there are, and this is research that I've done on my own, there are pockets of high and low energy density. And where there tends to be these pockets, depending on where you are, is where you'll either have no phenomena at all, none, like in a low density area. But in the high density area, you tend to find all three. You tend to find the paranormal. You tend to find Sasquatch sightings, and you tend to find UFO sightings. So I find it very interesting that these pockets exist where you have that huge amount of energy taking place.
Yeah, there's definite areas of interest. I mean, look at Skinwalker Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. most people would know about Skinwalker Ranch who listen to this podcast, I think. Yep. If not, I mean, it's a ranch in Utah that has had tons of paranormal, extraterrestrial, cryptid activity.
Yes, it is.
For years, teams of scientists have gone there to research it. They're not able to capture anything on film, but they've witnessed it for themselves.
Yeah, it's like it's very much. When it comes to the paranormal, there's a lot of things that don't want to be seen, want to be heard. They don't want to be filmed. They don't want to be taped. But the second that stuff stops rolling, that's when stuff hits the fan. And that's why I think that, you know, these hominids, bipedal ape-like men, are way smarter than we're giving them credit for.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not finding bodies, maybe they have burial practices. You know, maybe they burn bodies. Maybe they eat each other. We don't know. You know, maybe that there are, you know, caves and underground, you know, places where these things live, that, you know, that's where they bury their dead. Or, you know, we don't fully understand, because I don't know if we'll ever get a hold of one.
We may never. I mean, and if we do, it could really ruin the romance of the idea of this creature.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden it becomes one of those things where, oh, well, we found one Sasquatch, we were able to, you know, track it and find its pack, and then now all of a sudden we've got Sasquatches in every zoo in America. Like, you've now taken all of the love of the hunt away from everyone.
That's true, yeah. I mean, Robert Pyle wrote a book called Where Bigfoot Walks,
mm-hmm.
and it's about his travel through the Dark Divide, and I think it's in Gifford Pinchot National Park. Okay. Yeah, and anyways, it's a really interesting narrative because it really compares the idea of Bigfoot to the environment, to proven species. Like, he studies butterflies mainly, and some of these butterflies are more rare than Bigfoot is suspected to be. So one of the speculations is like how easy, how, like, if people know about these butterflies, then like why don't we believe the people who say they've seen Sasquatch, Bigfoot?
That is a great point. That's crazy. Like, it's a very good thought process, and I'm a big fan of it, because, you know, if we're, like I said, we'll go back to what I was saying earlier. If we've got all of these credible people that are talking about sighting Bigfoot, or catching prints, or hearing howls or shrieks or things like that, why are we not paying more attention to this, for one? And two, why is the attention that it's getting like it's always a hoax, or like it's a joke?
Or there's stories of cover-ups, government cover-ups. The government will, somebody will say they hit a Bigfoot with their semi, and the government shows up and says, you didn't see a Bigfoot, you saw a bear, and the body disappears, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that happens a lot, apparently.
Well, throughout the 60s, 70s, and the early 80s, there was the government was actually looking for Sasquatch, because apparently these things were interacting, like they were a big problem in small towns, like with traffic and you know, creating unrest and disturbances and things like that. So they started looking for Sasquatch, and then all of a sudden here we are, 2020, you know, 30 years later, and we're still not hearing anything about what they found. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that they did find something, because you can't hunt something like that for 30 years and not even find a track. Like, exactly. It's not possible.
Yeah. No. I mean, we're just finding out about UAP and UFO phenomenon that the government has admitted has occurred. They've said that there are off-world vehicles active on our planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Israeli head of the space defense came out and said there are aliens living among us.
I'm not surprised. I'm not even slightly surprised.
There's a galactic federation of different species.
Why am I not surprised? You know, I'm going to get all nerdy real quick. Like, super nerdy. I have been saying for years, even though I love Star Wars, I love Star Trek as well, because it's the most plausible thing. And people go, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you can't honestly tell me that there is no such thing as an otherworldly being. We have fey folk. We have cryptids, we have ghosts, we have we see UFOs all the time. You can't tell me that all of those UFOs are 100% man-made. It's not possible. There's no way that we are able to come out with that many crafts that are able to do that many things in a year's time, where everyone seeing it is seeing something different. That's not humanly possible. How long does it take to build a brand new airplane? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get real here.
Yeah. There's credible engineers who have come out and said they've worked on alien crafts. Like Bob Lazar.
Yep. Yeah. Good old Bob. Still trying to be silenced by the government.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's crazy that we can... thing with cryptids, man. Like, you're seeing UFOs, nobody takes you seriously. You're seeing Bigfoot, nobody takes you seriously. And I believe that there are some cover-ups that are out there to kind of try to hide, because, you know, it's one of those things where the government doesn't want the people to think for themselves.
Yeah.
And it's horrifying
think that it's going to compromise our safety.
So, you're saying... So, dear government, what you're telling me is that a Sasquatch is more deadly than a bear.
I would think so. If it has that kind of intelligence to evade cameras, to evade humans,
but you understand what I'm saying.
To hide their bodies.
Yeah.
To hide their bones. I mean, I would think that a Sasquatch would be much deadlier than any bear.
But you understand what my saying, what I'm saying, is the fact that, you know, even though that they are that sneaky and everything, the damage that they could do when they get a hold of you is pretty close to what a bear could do to you if it got a hold of you. So, in theory, why are we trying to hide this when, if anything, everyone should be aware that they exist if they are 100% aggressive, which I don't believe that all of them are, but we need to know so that way we can be on guard when we go hiking and go camping and things like that. We need to know what we need to have, because it seems to be when people are out hiking and when people are out camping, that is when they're coming in contact with these things more often. When they're hunting, when they're fishing, when they are out away from society, that is where it's happening. So the smartest thing would be for the government to come out and say, yes, these things exist, and here's what you need to do to protect yourself. So it just, I don't know.
I think one of the issues with that would be it could cause a panic. People will go up in arms and out into the woods to find this thing if they knew it was dangerous to them. I mean, it's happened in small towns with sightings.
Well, I think that's why you need to put a government protection on them. Because they're clearly, if we are assuming that these things exist, and based off of the amount of sightings that we have and where we have them, obviously it's borderline an endangered species. So, the logical thing to do if we do come out and say these things exist would be to put out something that says, if you kill it, you will be put in jail. You will be fined something.
There are states that do have laws against killing Sasquatch.
Like in Florida, you can't kill a skunk ape. You're not allowed to. And there are certain states where they've been fighting for decades to get Sasquatch to be something that is a protected species.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that, if they do become protected and their habitat becomes protected, that affects industry.
Mm-hmm.
It affects farming, it affects logging, it affects fisheries, and all kinds of natural resource industry.
Mm-hmm. But it, I think it's something that needs to happen.
Especially if it's a real creature.
Yes, 100%. Because clearly they're endangered at this point if we're only seeing them as much as we're seeing them. Like those rare butterflies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that should be protected because it is that rare. And, you know, we can go back to the age-old, you know, discussion of we're finding new species daily. And, like, it may just... I believe there will come a time, hopefully, in my lifetime, and that we actually have proof of this thing.
That would be cool.
But I hope and I pray that it is not a dead body.
I mean, if they're living beings, they're gonna die naturally if nothing happens to them.
But
so
I
think if someone found one that has died of natural causes and has been abandoned, I don't see the harm in a bit of research on the cadaver.
Oh no,
and
100%.
Respectfully, I don't know. I like to ask people the question, like, what would you do if you came across a dying Sasquatch?
That is a difficult question. I don't know what I would do. Like, if I knew there was no way to save this thing, and there was no other Sasquatch around, and there was nothing that they could do. Like, it sucks to say it. And, you know, I've always been the kind of person that I don't believe in killing anything.
No.
But, I mean, at that point, you have to be an angel of mercy in the situation. Yeah. But then comes the question, do you go and say, hey, I've got the body of a Sasquatch?
Well, my approach would be to try to comfort it until it did pass. Try to, I don't know. If I had any kind of painkillers with me or anything, I'd try to administer that and just make it easy for the creature. Just talk in soothing tones and just until it passes. And then, unfortunately, science needs hard proof, so I'd get out my hatchet and take the head.
Yeah. I think
No,
you're good. You're good. No, I understand that. There are several people that I would call in a situation like that, and none of them.
I would take it straight to somebody trustworthy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I have a lot of people that I trust with this.
No, but once you call, then the government hears it. You're tapping the phones, man.
I get that. But there are certain people that, you know, I would make aware of the find. And those are the people that I would trust to help find somebody to properly research what is in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a major thing, because even though Jeff Meldrum has done so much research, he has also worked with the government on some stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, his evidence goes missing too.
That's what I'm saying.
We worked on the Snow Grove Lake case that was chronicled in Monster Quest.
Monster Quest, yeah. That was an episode, man. That was an episode.
They found DNA and the other doctor in that episode, I forget the name right now.
Kurt something.
Yeah, he actually found what appeared to be human DNA. He found like 366 base pairs of this DNA, and one of the base pairs was different, and that is a difference we have in common with chimpanzees.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is insane. And especially when you, if you guys listening have not seen that episode, what I suggest is you go onto YouTube and search up Monster Quest.
There's two episodes.
That's right. And you search the Snow Grove incident. You will actually find that. And when they show that board that they used where they captured all of that, and they actually kind of drew out a rough size of the foot, there is nothing in those woods that is documented that has a foot that shape or that size. And if we are catching something with the DNA that is not human and is not ape, we need to start raising some eyebrows.
Yeah, and this place is out in the middle of nowhere. The only way you can get to it is by float plane.
Yeah, nowhere. I mean, nowhere. Most days out of the year, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
Like, and to have that many people, you know, consistently go out there, rent this cabin, and to experience something, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Sure. And even when they were out there was stuff happening. They were experiencing stuff while they were walking around looking.
Rocks thrown at them.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. The producer of the show, Doug Hychek, he was in the second episode more, but he had personal experiences before the show, and that's why they brought the show there. They heard calls, they he actually heard a big call. He went to the kitchen window for something and turned the light on, and I guess when he did that, it sparked a reaction from the Sasquatch. They like saw him and they lost it and were shrieking and it sounds terrifying.
It's insane to me that, you know, like I said, that you could be somewhere like that. And I mean, I understand there's no one out there. There's nothing around. There are no roads. There's nothing. Like you said, you can only get there by plane. And if I am going to go look for a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot, it's going to be in an area like that.
Oh, yeah. That's where I'm looking. I've already looked up the prices of renting the cabin. It's not too bad either. So something I might actually consider.
That's tempting. That is tempting.
Yeah. One of their speculations was that they're present when the berries are ripe there, which is in August sometimes. So I'm pretty sure it would be hard to get a spot during that season.
But that also makes a lot of sense, because if we are that closely related to these things, and we were foragers back in the day, not just hunters, but we were also gatherers. It would make sense that if there is that relation, they would also be eating fresh berries as well.
Mm-hmm.
And not just eating food, like eating like meat and things like that. It would be very smart to recognize the fact that they are omnivorous. So that makes a ton of sense. And also it makes a lot of sense that, you know, in the wintertime, though there are sightings, if you realize, they become increasingly rare in the wintertime, which makes it feel almost like they are hunkering down for the winter. I wouldn't say hibernating, but just kind of
migrating.
Trying to minimize migrating. There is a theory about that. There was a lot of stuff happening up in Alaska, and they were looking at the sightings, and based off of the time of year and where the sightings were, they traveled all up and down the Rockies and everything like that based on the time of year. Maybe they're following a food source.
Yeah. I mean, the elk do it. Tons of bird species migrate.
Yeah.
It's part of nature. I mean, it's adaptability, and it's the will to survive, right?
Yeah, it's insane, and they are made for cold weather, though, you know, with all of that thick fur and everything. Like, but it also makes sense that they would want to hunker down and just kind of, you know, grab a couple of elk or caribou or something, and then tuck away.
Yeah,
because I mean, I would do that.
A lot of speculations that they use cave systems and stuff like that, and I mean, the Pacific Northwest is full of caves. I mean, many parts of America, and even here in Ontario and Canada, there's tons of cave systems.
Well, and up there in Canada, like, you guys have so much unexplored wilderness.
We do. I mean, compared to the U.S., we don't have nearly the amount of population that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes sense that there would be a lot more, like, well, less sighting, but more ability to hide.
Yeah. If there's no one looking for Bigfoot, is he in the woods?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. So Canada, get out there and do more squatching. Please.
Yes, let's get these vaccines in us so we can go squatching.
Or let's get these vaccines in us and potentially become squatches.
That's right.
Hashtag side effects, baby.
Zombie squatches.
There's so many questions that, you know, I've made this correlation a million times, that searching the realm of the paranormal and everything involved in it, whether it be UFOs, whether it be cryptids, whether it be spirits, you get one answer and there are 35 more questions. But we have to we have to keep searching, because that's the only way we're going to find any answers. And
you
know,
have to find patterns and test theory. You should have a theory and be able to test it with the same results each time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole theory around mind speech, where they could potentially allow their thoughts to be broadcast into your mind. And I know that sounds crazy, but it also explains a lot of the anxiety and fear around being inside the woods. You know what I mean? Like, even in broad daylight.
I mean, who hasn't gone out into the woods and had that feeling like something was watching them?
Exactly. And it's not every time you go out there. It's only certain times. Because I can go walking behind my house right now and feel fine. You know, 16 acres of mountain land, and I feel fine. But every once in a while, there's a time when you go walk through the woods like you're being watched.
What part of the country are you in?
I'm on the East Coast, but I'm in the Appalachian Blue Ridge mountain area.
Oh wow, yeah, there's some hotbed activity there.
Oh yeah, it's a little squatchy out here for sure.
I'm gonna come visit you, and we're gonna go squatching, man, when all this corona shit's over.
Excuse my language, I'm so sorry. It's okay.
You can edit that out.
You get one. This is a PG-13 episode. You get one.
Yes. Coronavirus is frustrating, so.
It is. So it's funny you say that, because literally 5-10 miles from where I work, on the Blue Ridge Parkway, is where one of the most violent Bigfoot encounters in North Carolina actually happened.
Or you gotta say some more now.
Okay, so this guy and his friends go out, and they're driving along the Blue Ridge Parkway. They find a nice place to park, watch the sun go down, drink a couple beers, and just kind of hoot and holler and just raise a little hell. And they're sitting out there, and then all of a sudden, rocks start flying towards the vehicle. And then they start hearing the grunting. Then they start hearing the howls and the whoops and the shrieks. And then all of a sudden, a tree gets knocked over. And then they see the tree come up off the ground, but they don't see what's holding it. And it was at that point that they all jumped in the car and then took off.
Yeah, they didn't want them there, for sure.
No. And it was crazy when I actually found out that was 5-10 miles from where I work. And I was like, I'm uncomfortable now.
Just if you start hearing rocks raining down, you know you're not welcome.
That's right. That's not hail. The skies are clear.
Oh man.
But there's so much, especially here in North Carolina. You know, we've got several areas that are known for squatch activity. There's an area between where I live now and where I used to live, towards the middle of the state. It's called the Uwari National Forest, and there is so many sightings of Sasquatch. They have something out there called the Old Man of the Forest, and he is an all-white Sasquatch.
Yeah, like the white thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... I have so many questions about that too. Is he old? Is it albinism? Why is he white? Is he a Yeti?
Explain red eyes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. With cryptids, man, you're never gonna know. You're never gonna know until you get a hold of one.
That's right.
And part of me never wants to get a hold of one.
I mean, there's some pretty weird creatures out there though. Look what we know of. Look at a platypus. A platypus.
Beaver, duck, and there you go.
And they have venom.
Yeah. Which is nuts.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable to me.
So it has it has bird features, mammal features, and reptile. Venom is a reptile feature, I guess. A snake feature.
Yeah.
What else is venom? I guess some insects do. Scorpions.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. If you
go, it's so cute and cuddly. It will kill you though.
Yeah. It's nuts. But I mean, if platypus exist, platypi? what is the plural? I don't even know. Why can't Bigfoot exist?
Yeah. Exactly.
Why, you know, can't, if a, the, why can't a winged human like Mothman?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that also could be misidentification, because I have heard a lot of stories about flying pterosaurs.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just saying. Like, that is... But then again, it could be a mix of actual paranormal activity and misidentification. We don't know. Maybe Mothman is real. We don't know. We're never going to know until we get our hands on something.
No. I mean... I don't know if it's lucky or a curse to see something like that, but people claim they've seen it, and they seem very believable.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. You have to look at the quality of the person that you're talking to when you actually get these accounts. And like I said, the fact they're coming from doctors and professors and things like that, you have to start asking questions.
Forestry workers.
Yeah. Police officers.
Police officers, yeah.
Like, no, even if the police officers are coming out and being like, like, I think I saw something. Well, I'm gonna be a little more inclined to believe you. Especially if there's dash cam footage.
Yeah, and they're trained to be observant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, military officers, like you were saying, like, if they're the ones that are talking about it, man, you gotta start looking into it. You gotta start asking yourself questions. Don't ever doubt something until you have 100% reason to doubt it. And there's too much evidence for me to doubt the existence. Yeah. Just because I haven't experienced it doesn't mean that it's not real. There's a lot of stuff that I have not experienced in life that is very real. So...
It's true. A lot of weird things happen. Who would have thought we'd all be stuck in our houses this year because of a global pandemic?
It's
nuts.
It is nuts. 100%. It's, I don't know. There's so much, especially when it comes to the cryptids and things like that, that just make you raise an eyebrow. Like Dogman. You know, Beastbury Road. Like, is that a Sasquatch that just has, like, you know, a special, you know, variation down the line, you know, in the DNA or something? Or is it a birth defect in a Sasquatch? Right. We don't know.
The lizard man of Skateboard.
Yeah.
There's speculation that it might be a misidentified Sasquatch with like mange or something like that. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of a bear with mange, but they look pretty different than they do when they have hair.
It's pretty shocking. It is. Yeah. It's very shocking. There's a lot of stuff in the cryptid realm and in the realm of spirits and the realms of UFOs and all this stuff is my two favorite words when it comes to explanation, and that is misidentification and misinterpretation. We really have to buckle down and take a look at what it is that we're looking at. 100%. You know, if there is doubt, throw it out, man. Throw it out.
Yeah, and people experience things like pareidolia, where they see, like, their mind fills in the blanks.
Well, and when your adrenaline is pumping, you tend to exaggerate a lot of things.
That's true, yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's hard to speculate.
It is.
I mean, I hear people like Cliff Berrickman very confidently. He's like one of the smartest guys I know in the field, and he very confidently says he thinks it's a relic hominid. And like,
yeah,
he's and you hear seen that evidence. How he's been in the field.
Like Cliff is a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's credible people out there saying this thing exists. Why wouldn't I believe them?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even to even go to the credit of Cliff and BFRO and, you know, finding Bigfoot and all of that, when they all started, Renee was a hardcore skeptic.
Yeah.
And by the end of that show, she's like, pretty sure this thing is real. Which is saying something. Because she was like, there were times that she was just moments away from being like, you're an idiot, there's no way.
Yeah, I mean, there were lots of times where she said, I can't explain what just happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, literally in either the first or second episode, you know, they had been talking to this guy down in Georgia, and then all of a sudden, as they're walking back, there's two massive footprints in the mud. And, like, given the time span, it would have had to have happened either right before or during their interview and that walkthrough with that guy. And she's like, we saw nothing. Like, this is crazy. And, you know, given the gait and everything of those footprints, she was like, I have no explanation. Well, of course you don't have an explanation. It's Sasquatch, and nobody can really explain anything when it comes to that guy. So...
Yeah, it's weird though, because people will have videos and not even realize they've captured something on it until they've watched it back a few times or something like that. There's a footage of a young boy, I guess, learning how to shoot his gun at some targets, and in the background you just see something pop up out of the bush and run off on two legs like a dark figure. I mean,
yeah,
there's not a lot of definition to it, but if you think you're being shot at, you're gonna run, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not hanging around. I've got other things to do, like, you know, be alive. But yeah, there's a ton of videos like that, like the 4th of July footage with the thing that's got its arm coming around the woodpile stack, and it's just sitting there like playing the woodpile. And watching the bonfire with the family having fun, and it's off in the background, and they didn't realize it until like 4 or 5 years later that thing was in the footage. You know, it's, if you are out in the woods and you are taking pictures or you are taking video, look very closely.
Yeah, look with different filters too.
Yep. Yeah. So as we're wrapping this up, Greg, can you give out all of your social medias for everybody, because I know you've got a lot going on right now?
Oh, I got a couple of things. No, I wouldn't say a lot, but I'm Greg Morrill. You can find me at Jedi Imposter on Instagram. And I recently started a new page dedicated to the strange and unusual happenings called All the Weird. And there's a period in between All and Weird.
Yep. So what do you have anything kind of coming up for Christmas that you want to do? By the way, guys, this is actually being recorded shortly before Christmas.
You know, I don't have any solid plans. I have kids, and I'll obviously spend time with my family, so I think I'm just going to take it easy for Christmas, and yeah, 2020's been a rough year, so...
It's been rough, that's for sure.
A little bit of relaxation on purpose would be good.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And, guys, you know, I wanted to end Season 1, which this is the last episode for Season 1, the way we started it, with some great Squatch content, and I think we got that tonight with Mr. Greg Morrill from Canada. I'm talking about some Canadian cryptids. And, like, Canadian Sasquatch, man. Like, I imagine he's just super polite.
Snowgrove Lake is in Ontario, Northern Ontario. So yep. That was a Canadian incident.
It was. There's a lot of them out there. So, guys, do your research. But, you know, this is the last episode of Season 1, and I wanted it to be squatchy like the first episode. Guys, get ready, because shortly after this airs, we're going to dive into Season 2, which is going to be no longer recorded audio, but it is going to be all live video podcast content that will be available on the YouTube channel. So if you guys go onto YouTube and you look up Sparks of the Paranormal, you see that logo there. Go ahead and hit that like. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button and get ready, because there's going to be some good stuff. Greg, man, thank you for coming and hanging out with us. This was awesome. I love talking Squatch.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for having me. I'll always be willing to talk about the big guy and any other cryptid, really. So, yeah, anybody wants to chat, hit me up on All the Weird on Instagram.
Do that. And while you guys are out there and you're following Greg, you're following All the Weird, you know, whenever you find anybody that is involved in the paranormal, no matter how big, no matter how small, show that love, show that support. And with that being said, guys, we will catch you for season 2 of Sparks of the Paranormal.